I'll talk this morning about shattering the silence. But I was looking back when I was preparing for this message, and I was sitting in my office at the house, and I thought, you know, it's been about 5 months now since I was downsized, retired, severed, whatever the paperwork says, but it's been 5 months since I've worked at the power plant. When I left, there was a little over 60 of us that left at that time. And the majority of us were between 57 and 60 years old, all right there grouped together. The majority of us worked at the plant 34, 35, 36 years. So we all knew each other. Our jobs were all intermixed. We'd see each other even on the different shifts as we overlapped. So we were, you know, a good mix, a good tight bunch of people. We centered around the power plant, but the guys lived from Coshocton, Warsaw, Dresden, Conesville, West Lafayette. Some lived in Newark, some Zanesville, Newcomers Town. We even had a few that lived down in southern Ohio, down around Crooksville. So, you know, some drove long distances. Well, when we left, we all said we needed to keep in touch because we spent majority of our lives together as a group. And when you work 12 hours a day, you know, you're around them as much as you are your families. So keeping in touch was going to be important. Some of the guys, we made up a spreadsheet. We had phone numbers, addresses, emails, and we'd call each other. We have retiree breakfast once a month that was set up. Some of the guys that left before we did. And I heard that Walmart is a good place to run into the guys you used to work with. I don't know because I don't go to Walmart very often. But sometimes I'll get a phone call from someone and say, hey, I'm in Coshocton. How about we get together and have a cup of coffee? Well, I found out that some of these guys are better at keeping in touch than others. Some of the guys only know the ones they work the closest with. Some of them know, it seems like they know everything about everybody. Whether we found other jobs, whether we're annoying our wives and our wives want us to find other jobs, or just try to stay in touch. But I found out the difference is the guys who keep in touch are the ones that put themselves out there. They make an effort to reach out and to touch the other guys, to connect. We meet for coffee, we meet for lunch, we make phone calls, we send out emails. Some guys just sit at home and wait for someone else to touch them. And that brings me to the question that always seems to get asked. Have you heard from so-and-so lately? Have you heard what Joe's been doing? Have you heard what Bob's been doing? And the question I have for you is, have you heard from God lately? Have you been keeping in touch? I hear lots of people in communication and conversations about how to hear from God. Some think they're going to hear from Him, but they don't. Some are interested in hearing from Him, but don't know how. And then I hear the others that say, yeah, I'm in touch with God. We all need to understand that hearing from God takes effort. You can't just sit and wait. You got to put yourself out there. You don't earn the right to hear from God. Your responsibility is to reach out to Him. And today we're going to look at one of my favorite people in the Old Testament, one of my favorite stories. It comes from the book of 1 Samuel. He's the only man in Scripture to hold the offices of prophet, judge, and priest. He's also one of the few that we get to glimpse his life from beginning, from conception, to his young age, right up to his death. The Scripture tells the unusual circumstances of how he was promised to God. And what is most unique about Samuel and what we're going to talk about today is the fact that the Scripture opens the doors to his prayers and gives us a glimpse of how he first heard God's voice and learned to recognize his call. By looking at Samuel's life, we're going to learn that hearing from God comes from intimacy with God, cultivated through discipline and a little effort. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 19. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that it was the Lord that had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the houses of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's houses shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. We're going to look at three disciplines we have to have in our lives to maintain contact with the Lord, to shatter the silence, to hear his voice. The first discipline to shatter the silence is a discipline of service. You must render yourself to service to the Lord. What is service? We've talked about it many times. It's those things that you dutifully do to serve God. The things that God has called you to do, to engage in. There's some important things that God calls us to do that we don't need a personal invitation. It should be those things that we're already doing. Should we be generous? There's no question about that. Should you pray? No question. Should you attend church on a regular basis? No question about that. The Bible is very clear. For example, the issue of generosity. The Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All those things that you have in your life that you value so highly, those aren't yours. Those are God's. Those belong to the Lord. You're just a caretaker over them. And he expects you to do good works with what he's given you. Should you pray? Of course. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We should always be praying for each other. Look around today, see the ones that are missing. I hope you lift up a word of prayers for them. We have people traveling today. We have people out sick. All kinds of reasons that people aren't here. I hope you prayed for the pastor as he went through his surgery for his cataracts. Should you be a dependable member of a church family? Should you gather together? Yeah, the Bible tells us to gather together, not forsaking each other. We've been called to serve a purpose in this church. We've been called to serve a purpose to each other. We've been gifted. The Bible tells us that everyone receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. We all don't receive the same gifts. But when we gather together in support of each other, those gifts fit together. They enable God's work to be done in this community. So those things are opportunities that God gives to each and every one of us. There should be no question that we're called to those things. You see, before God can shatter the silence and talk to you, you have to be able to accomplish the basics. The basic things He calls each one of us to do. Until we get a hold of that and we accomplish that, God isn't going to give us additional things. He's going to give us assignments in other areas. As I read this and prepared for this message, something jumped out at me. I want you to look at verse 7. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." And it got my attention because in verse 1 it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child." Excuse me, verse 7 it says, "The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Chapter 2 it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod." So how was it that it says in verse 7 that Samuel did not yet know the Lord when we read in verse 1 he ministered to him? Could that be true of us here today? Could we be ministering to the Lord and really not know Him? You see, Samuel was part of the elder guild. He was a key part of the worship service. He opened the temple up. The people came in to offer their sacrifices. Samuel was there to assist them, because it was his service to the Lord. So we have evidence that Samuel did worship the Lord and serve Him prior to knowing Him. Samuel had a clear understanding and clear expectations of who God was, but yet didn't know Him in an intimate relationship yet. Verse 7 said the word of the Lord had not been revealed to Samuel. Samuel did not know God because God had never personally spoken to him. And I thought about this. And I thought about Samuel. I thought about myself and you people sitting in here today. You know, we come here, we're excited to serve the Lord. I get excited every Sunday when I get to come in here. But do we know Him? Do we have an intimate relationship with Him? Samuel did not. Not yet. See, the word that's translated "been revealed" literally means that the word has not been uncovered to Samuel. Samuel had a good idea that God was God and should be revered and held in awe, but God had not uncovered Himself to Samuel yet. I come home the other day and I walked in to the kitchen. There was a wonderful aroma. And I knew whatever it was, it smelled good. And I knew whatever it was, I ought to be excited about it. I walked over to the counter and took the lid off the crock pot. And it was a pot of chili. And I picked up a spoon and I tasted it. And I was right, it was good. It was really good. See, when I walked into the kitchen, I had an idea there was something in there that was good. But it wasn't until after the pot had been uncovered and I tasted what inside that I knew how good it really was. Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Samuel knew that the Lord was good. He knew that the Lord was worthy of his service. But at this point in his young life, he hadn't tasted of God yet. He hadn't had that intimate relationship. And in the uncovering in those days was rare. God's revelation was being held back. But God chose Samuel because Samuel demonstrated his faithfulness to God. He served God before he even knew him in an intimate way. He knew God was good. The second thing we need to do to shatter the silence, and maybe this is going to be the most hard, we have to practice a discipline of solitude. It's no small coincidence that the Bible leads us to believe that Samuel was alone in the temple when the word of the Lord came to him. And it seems to me that's the way it is with most of the characters of the Bible. They're alone when the Lord speaks to them. Think about it for a minute. Why was Samuel there? It's because his mother dedicated him to the Lord. Who was Samuel's friend? It was an old man. It was Eli. How old was Samuel? Well, they think he was 12 years old at best. And where was he? He was in a church all by himself. You ever been in a church yourself at night? All by yourself? I have. They make noises. You feel kind of alone, kind of eerie. There were no other 12-year-olds in the temple at this time. He had no one to play with. There was no radio to play, no television, no video games, no comic books. There was literally nothing to take his mind off the deafening silence of his lonely circumstances. He was alone in a quiet church with just his thoughts. Samuel was experiencing that moment of solitude, and that's when God spoke. There are two ways to enter into solitude. It can be through your circumstances. Or your choice. I see people that enter into solitude by circumstances when they reach a hard point in their life. And they turn to God. But also I've noticed they seem to tend to draw inward too. They'll turn to God, but turn away from their church family. They want to be by themselves, try to work it out, talk to God. What I want to talk about today is we have to learn to get into that solitude on a daily basis. Set aside a time to be with God. We need to determine that we're going to hear from God daily. Our life, we have too many distractions. Too many things trying to break into our lives. I've come down to the church at night, and I come in here and I sit right back in that corner over there with all the lights off, but this one light right here above the cross. So there's not a lot of light in here. And I sit. Now, solitude means we can shut out all the outward distractions. But what it doesn't do, it opens you up to the inward distractions. Your inner doubts, your anxieties, fears, your bad memories, unresolved conflicts, angry feelings, impulsive desires. And I want to tell you, when you sit in the dark and you open yourself up, they come flooding in full force. But it's not a bad thing. It's time to deal with it. It's time to turn to God and look at truthfully. I believe many of us are afraid to sit down and deal with the inward anxieties that we have. So we fill ourselves up with outward distractions. Can you sit down without picking up a newspaper? Can you sit down without turning on the TV or the radio? Can you take time just to sit down alone and say, "Dear God, here I am. Here's your servant." We want to hear from God. We have to open ourselves up. It's time to open up that inward closet, take the skeletons out, and do a little spring cleaning. Sometimes we have to have courage to practice the discipline of solitude. If we want God to shatter the silence, it requires our surrender. And it goes right along with our solitude. You have to be willing to wave the white flag and say, God, here I am. I give up. I want to turn it all over to you. Samuel was 100% surrendered to the will of those who were in authority over him. He surrendered to his mother's wishes. He surrendered to Eli's wishes. And four times in this passage, we hear Samuel say, here I am. And when he responds to the Lord, he says, Lord, your servant is listening. These statements show someone who is ready and willing to do whatever needs to be done in service to God, regardless of the difficulty. Samuel faced a very difficult problem. God told him to reveal to Eli the things that he was going to do. He was going to judge Eli's family once and for all for the evil that his sons had done. And Samuel had to be worried, a little scared to do that, because he held Eli in esteem. And us today, we have to be willing to surrender all those things in our lives, to give it up, and be willing to serve God and do whatever God calls us to do. And I'll tell you, in your time of solitude, it is scary. As you deal with the problems in your life, if you've made the right decisions, is it time to bury the hatchet with someone you've got an issue with? God may call you to do things you're not comfortable with doing. He may call you to reach out, to do something new, to do something different. And we've talked about how hard change is. But don't be surprised if God doesn't call for a change in your life. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to put ourselves out there, to take that step to stay in communication with God. Samuel served, he practiced solitude, and he surrendered to God. So then God spoke to him. Verse 19, it says, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, God gave him success in what God called him to do. And here's the truth. If you're willing to hear, to pay the price to hear from God, he will speak. And hearing from God can and will lead you to success in everything that he calls you to do. Notice I didn't say it will lead you to success for everything you do in your life. But it will lead you that way into success for the things that God calls you to do. God doesn't call us to do things and allow us to fail. If we're willing to make the effort to put ourselves out there, to communicate every day with him, he'll lead us, he'll guide us, and he'll make us successful. My prayer for you all is that you take some time. Go in a room by yourself. No kids, no wife, no husband, no radio, no TV, no newspapers, no cell phones, no iPads, no video of any kind. Close your eyes and open yourself up to the Lord. See what happens. See what thoughts come racing in. God calls us. God wants a close, intimate relationship with us. And I pray that we can follow the example of Samuel as he opened himself up to the Lord. We all stand. We'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray. I pray for all those here today, Father, that we could take the time every day to spend some time with you alone. Allow you to fill our thoughts. Allow you to speak to our hearts and to guide us. Father, I just pray that none here will experience the silence of not hearing from you. But Father, I pray the example of Samuel, we will take that to our hearts and we will mimic him, Father, if we put ourselves out there, as we open ourselves up to you, Father, to your leadership and your guidance in our lives. Father, I just pray that you call us to your service and you reveal to each one here that place that you have set aside for them, Father, and that their lives would be blessed by fulfilling your purposes. In Jesus' name, and I pray, amen.